you today for your giving. Praise the Lord. Amen. That is from the heart. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. I want to read a scripture to you, and we're going to have a very short 3-minute video before we preach on this particular subject today. Amen. Let me read from Matthew 28 in verse 1 real quickly. And after the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. And there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled the stone away, back the stone, and sat on it. There are so many things in the Bible where, and I could just read and read and read and read and read. When the veil was rent from top to bottom, there was a great earthquake just preceding that. Amen. And it convinced a centurion, surely this was the Son of God. God speaks through these events. There's going to be an earthquake in the book of Revelation that is so strong and powerful that every island in the sea is going to be engulfed by it. And the Bible said that not only is the earth going to shake, but the heavens are going to shake as well. Amen. Of things in earth and of things in heaven, there's a shaking that the Bible said the stars of heaven would fall like untimely figs, figs that are not ready to be harvested, that are still strong on the stem, that a fig tree would be shaken to such a degree that those figs would be actually knocked loose, not in the season when it was time for them to fall. Amen. There's an earthquake coming that every star in heaven is going to be moved. Did you know that this week, Friday, the earth wobbled? Amen. The earth actually, it was like a millionth of a degree. It's something that won't affect us in our daily life right now. But what should affect us is that we're seeing things happen. My brother-in-law was ready to go to Christchurch, New Zealand on vacation to Australia. And he's wondering how it's going to be. He's already got the tickets there. He's got to go now. I mean, it's past the point of no return. And yet they just had an earthquake in Christchurch and devastated a lot of that area recently. The earthquake Friday in Japan and the tsunami. Jesus spoke of signs in the heavens and signs in the earth. And he talked about earthquakes in different places. And he talked about something that earthquakes create, the sea and the waves roaring. Can you say men's hearts will fail them for fear and for looking at the things which are coming upon the earth? Nothing stays the same. This is a young guy compared to me sitting here. Amen. I mean, he doesn't expect to happen to him what happened to him. I mean, he expects something like that to happen to somebody like me. But not somebody like him. I'm old enough for these events, but he's too young for a heart problem that put his life literally in jeopardy had it not been for the Lord. And he knows the Lord has intervened for him. But we plan, we make our plans, but events come like mighty earthquakes and tsunamis that shake those plans. Let me tell you how things change. I've been around for a while. In 57, I was 10 years old. So you can tell I've been around for a while. Let me tell you some of the things they said in 1957. Here's some statements that were made, recorded from 1957. I tell you one thing, if things keep going the way they are, it's going to be impossible to buy a week's groceries for $20. If they raise minimum wage to $1, nobody will be able to hire outside, help outside at the store. When I started driving, who would have thought that someday gas would cost 29 cents a gallon? Guess we'd be better off leaving the car in the garage. I read the other day that scientists think it's possible to put a man on the moon by the end of the century. They even have some fellows they call astronauts preparing for it down in Texas. Astounding thing. Did you see where some baseball player just signed a contract for $75,000 a year just to play ball? Wouldn't surprise me if someday they'll be making more than the president. 1957 statements. The drive-in restaurant is convenient in nice weather, but I seriously doubt they'll ever catch on. Of course, we have McDonald's today all over the world. No one can afford to be sick anymore. Can you believe the hospitals are charging $35 a day? Have you ever heard the saying in the song, "The times, they are a changing"? Earthquakes are occurring all over the world, and they have for year after year after year. It's debatable, and they're still debating the frequency and the intensity of the earthquakes that would mark the beginning of sorrows or the beginning of the end. One thing is for sure, God speaks through earthquakes. He speaks through these shaking times. When the disciples asked what would be the sign of Jesus coming in Mark 13:8, and when would the world end? Concerning the signs of his return, he replied, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles or pestilence. These are the beginning of sorrows." Can you say amen? And the word sorrows here is a very unique word in the Greek. Because it's the word used for birth pangs. How many's ever had a child? How many knew when it was started? Amen. You didn't have to have the doctor tell you. You told him. You didn't have to have the hospital tell you. You told them. Because it started with what? Labor pains. Contractions. And that's what this word meant. Contractions. Once these things begin, it's going to culminate in something. And the first thing they'll ask you at the hospital before they examine you is they want to time how close the contractions are. And they want to ask you on a scale of 1 to 10 how strong the contractions are. So what's being given here in Scripture is the frequency and intensity. They thought, and in this video you're going to see, they thought it was an 8.4. Now they believe it's probably more like a 9.1. These are extraordinary earthquakes. These are not some of the mild shakings that take place all over the world frequently. These are big earthquakes. You ever heard the big one is coming in California? People have heard it so long nobody even pays any attention to it, and they write it off. But scientists and seismologists are still saying the big one is coming. The big one is coming. In other words, they know when it comes because of the plates and the pressure building. It's going to be a very big, devastating earthquake. And it's all leading to something. All of this is prophetic stuff. Amen. And I could go into a study, and time doesn't permit, but we could go in a study in the Old Testament of the times that the earth shakes. There's a scripture that said the whole earth groaneth. And I believe earthquakes are the physical part of that. I believe there's a spiritual counterpart. But I believe that the Bible said the whole earth groaneth. Why is the earth groaning? Because sin has tainted and put a curse upon a beautiful world that God created. Can you say amen? And the whole earth groans. For what? For Christ to come in his kingdom. For the manifestation of the sons of God. Can you say amen? You know, when he comes, they're going to beat their weapons. Their swords are going to be beaten into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. In other words, the military budgets of the world that are preparing for war, amen, and rumors of war are all going to be used for agricultural development. And the 63 million people that die each year of hunger are not going to die anymore. Praise God. Not because God has to work a miracle of the fish and loaves, but the miracle of hearts that are changed, hallelujah, in a kingdom where the lion and the lamb lay down together. Praise God. Amen. And I believe that all of this is pointing to the soon coming of Jesus Christ. I believe the earth is groaning for it, and the church should be longing for it. Hallelujah. Men's hearts will fail them for fear, looking at the things which are coming upon the earth. For there shall be distress among nations with perplexity, the scriptures teach. The sea and the waves roaring. Go ahead. then we'll speak for just a few moments. This is current. This is Friday.
Tsunami Warning Center has issued a tsunami warning, not just for Japan, once again for Russia as well. Marcus Island, North. Another tsunami is hitting Miyagi Prefecture, Sendai, Japan. And it looks like that tsunami wave is moving upstream rapidly. Live coverage from our helicopter up in northern Miyagi Prefecture, where a tsunami obviously coming in several sweeps, hitting Miyagi Prefecture, Sendai area. A large part of the city has been struck, engulfed by this tsunami. Farms being washed away along with houses. We don't know the extent of the damage. In buildings in Tokyo and surrounding areas lost power soon after the quake. There has also been a massive power failure in the area hit hard by the quake in the northeastern part of the country. The river. This is from our camera reporter in Miyagi. And it looks like the tsunami has engulfed several cities in Miyagi Prefecture. Live footage of Miyagi as the tsunami has struck the area, obviously engulfing farms, homes, alongside the river. In Sendai City, this is, in Miyagi Prefecture, tsunami, live coverage of tsunami engulfing this Sendai area in Miyagi Prefecture. This is after a major earthquake hitting Japan Friday afternoon. Japan. Obviously, cars, trucks. You can see some of the tsunami, and it looks like some fire breaking out in the Sendai area after the tsunami has hit. Major earthquake that was revised to magnitude 8.4. One of the largest earthquakes ever to hit Japan. The tsunami has already engulfed some cities. Fires breaking out due to the earthquake. In northeastern Japan's Iwate Prefecture, tsunami waves of over 4 meters were observed soon after the quake. Agencies in the Sendai area, Miyagi Prefecture, north of Japan. For those of you who have just tuned in to NHK World, a major earthquake hit Japan Friday afternoon about an hour ago, hour and 10 minutes ago. Japan's meteorological agency says the quake measured magnitude 8.4. It has revised it upwards to 8.4. The agency has issued a tsunami warning for Japan's Pacific coast. In northeastern Japan's Iwate Prefecture, tsunami waves of over 4 meters were observed soon after the quake. The agency is warning that the tsunami could reach between 6 and 10 meters. Currently contacting local governments and related agency to assess the extent of the damage. Tsunami has already struck, and you can see some of the damages so far in Miyagi Prefecture, northern Japan, in the Sendai area, but also for Russia. We're back to live coverage from our helicopter in Miyagi Prefecture, Sendai, northern Japan. That looks like the Sendai airport almost completely flooded from several tsunamis that has hit the area. Our helicopter is also at Miyagi Prefecture covering live Sendai area, where obviously a large tsunami has hit an area engulfing big parts of the city. Airport in northern Japan are still closed. On an NHK helicopter,
that is the power plants. They're concerned about meltdowns and all the things that go with it. And it's speaking to the world that things can happen to change overnight everything. It's a tremendous time to be living. It's no time to be caught up in the things of the world. Yes, yes. Exactly. Yeah.
Runways. You have to change runways and all that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The earth wobbled. It's amazing that the Bible speaks of the earth being shaken like this. It's an amazing time to be living. I see people going about their business as if nothing will ever interrupt the momentum of them living their life. There are people not here today that are too busy for church. Literally, Christians that are too busy for church. The Bible said, forsake not. This is not to make numbers look good, to build buildings, to build facilities. This is for our benefit and our blessing. The Bible said, forsake not the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is. It had already begun to see this really isn't that important. Can you say amen? But especially when you see the day approaching. Can you say amen? And the reason we're together, it went on to say, and exhort one another. And that means to strongly encourage in right living. Why do we need to encourage one another in living right? Because the whole current of the culture and the world is going away from God. Another sign, the Bible said, in the church, which is in a state of change and shaking as well. Amen. As the Bible said, many false prophets will go out into the land and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, sinfulness is going to be everywhere, even in the church. The love that causes people to want to be in God's house, that want to serve God, that want to receive His Word, that want to follow Christ. The love of many. This is not an aberration. This is not done in a corner. But the love of many shall wax cold. The Bible said that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. The word falling away was used in some of the ancient cultures as the word for divorce. We've made a commitment. We've come into a covenant. And we're walking away from that covenant. Why do people divorce? Because the love waxes cold. See, love bears all things. But if you don't love, it's unbearable to put up with faults from someone you don't love. But if you love them, love bears all things, believes all things, endures all things. The only reason that we've been married for going on 48 years now is because love bears all things, endures all things. Because we've had to endure some things and it tests the strength of your love and your commitment to one another. Can you say amen? It's the same way with God. Amen. The Bible said if we love Him, we can endure hardness. As good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Why? How could Paul be whipped like he was whipped, beat like he was beat, hurt like he was hurt, and still serve God with such a great heart? He said, the love of Christ constraineth me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But when love waxes cold, what's in God's house for anybody? Why take your time for self-indulgence for God's house? Why take your time for God's word? Why take time for God's worship? Just use your faith to get God's blessing. What a day. Harry Emerson Fosdick made a statement. He said the highest use of a shaken time is to discover the unshakable. When everything that can totter is staggering, then it's time to get our eyes on that stands firm. How many can amen that today? Amen. I'm going to ask you to check your own hearts today about your love life with Jesus. I can't make you love Him. Can you say amen? But I can tell you how much He loves you and hope that you've got enough of Christian decency to want to love Him back and want to love Him appropriately. It's only one way to love God acceptably. Thou shalt love the Lord with what? How much? With the leftovers? With what's left after I indulge myself? When it's convenient? No, thou shalt love Him with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your spirit, and your body. Hallelujah. It's the first and great commandment. And it's the one that everyone has broken at some time or another. There's space for repentance for everybody in this respect. There are times when we've loved ourselves more than we've loved our God. Amen. Churches don't see any need for altars any space, any need for repentance. We've broken that commandment. And God is not wanting us to keep it by pushing our necks to the ground and say, you better love me. He's just trying to focus us back on the cross and upon Jesus. Can you say, man? To try to see, is there anything in us left to love him back like that? Is there anything left in the church to love him not for the riches, the silver, the gold that's going to pass away, but love him for Christ and the blood of Jesus that's eternal? Let me read from Haggai 2 and verse 6 and Hebrews 12, 25 through 28. Listen to this. The book of Haggai in the Old Testament says, "But thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once more will I shake the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the dry land, and I will shake all nations." Yet once more, mark that in your mind, "will I shake the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the dry land, and I will shake all nations." By the way, a tsunami doesn't have to hit America. We're in a precarious place economically.
Yes, we are.
If gas goes to $6 a gallon in America, you're not just going to pay $6 at the pump. You're going to have to pay more when you buy a pair of dungarees because of the cost of shipping it to the store. You're going to have to pay more for a box of soda crackers for the cost of shipping it to the store. In other words, you're going to pay more to put gas in your tank, and you're going to pay for the gas of all the transportation to everywhere you shop. You're going to pay more for utilities. You're going to foot the bill. Companies are going to raise their prices to get their money back. But I don't think they're going to raise your wages.
No.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I know they're not going to raise Social Security.
No.
And all the folks like me said, amen. Amen. Let me read this again from Haggai 2 and verse 6. Oh, by the way, with all this negative stuff, I want you to understand God wants to get a people from a people that will love him back for loving them. While the love of many is waxing cold, God has a remnant. He's going to have a church when he comes. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And I believe revival is going to come through that remnant that says, hey, they can fall away if they want to. Amen. I found out that I'm not going to, no matter what I preach about Jesus, amen, I can't win the hearts for God. Only the Lord can do that, and only people loving him back.
Yeah.
If a man loved me, oh, when I first got saved, there was something burning in my heart, and it's called the first love. It's that sweetheart love. Everybody say sweetheart love.
Sweetheart.
I couldn't wait to get in God's house. Why? Because you were afraid if you didn't, God was going to whip you. No, because I loved him. I loved the word of God. I loved to hear it preached. I loved the songs of Zion. I loved to hear them sung. There are certain ladies I can see right now that would sing in our choir. And this is just a Holy Ghost choir. It wasn't a big formal thing. Amen. But I remember Sister Flowers. Amen. With white hair, wore in that little, like they don't do now. You got white hair too, but it's pretty white hair. Amen. It's not elderly white hair. Amen. It makes it nice to you know what I'm saying. Look at Alice today. I mean, you know, she doesn't have that. That one I'm talking about that marked almost all Pentecostal senior ladies, amen. But I remember Sister Flowers, she would be standing, amen. They'd be singing on that resurrection morning when all dead in Christ shall rise. She was not mic'd. She didn't need to be mic'd. Amen. She had such joy and such conviction in the resurrection. I would hear Grandma Flowers and she would sing out, "I'll have a new body." You can hear the rest of the choir say, "I'll have a new life. Sown in weakness, raised in power, ready to live in paradise. I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life." Those people inspired me. They loved God. They looked forward to going to heaven. They came to church to worship him. They believed this gospel. Hallelujah. And heaven was sweeter than this earth to them. And they loved to talk about heaven, sing about heaven. And above all, they loved to sing about him. Hallelujah. Haggai 2 and verse 6 says, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once more will I shake the heavens, the earth, the sea, the dry land, and I will shake all the nations." Hebrews 12, 25 through 28 in the New Testament. See if you see the similarity. Yet once more, I will shake the earth and also the heavens. Now this expression, yet once more, indicates the final transformation of all that can be shaken. That is, of that which has been created, in order that that which cannot be shaken might remain. Let us therefore receive in a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Offer unto God pleasing service, acceptable worship. Hallelujah. Amen. Did you know you received a kingdom which cannot be shaken? Amen. People use this with cars and gold and silver in mind. I want to use it for a higher purpose than that. God understands your physical personal needs. And the Bible said if the kingdom is first, He will see to those things. But let's put things in proper perspective. This is no time to go after gold and silver. This is a time to seek the kingdom of God. Amen. And His righteousness. Can you say amen? Amen. And He'll take care of the daily needs and the physical needs and the material needs. The Bible said, while we look not at the things which are seen, for they're temporal. They're subject to change. Everybody say subject to change. That's what it means. It's subject to change. Amen. Amen. You can get a brand new car. But I'm going to tell you something. As the years go by, it's subject to change. Can you say amen? I see some cars out there that look really good until you peek in the window and you see the mileage on them. And you see 167,000. And you say, boy, that transmission had some wear and tear. That body may still look good, but the transmission ain't what it used to be. Can you say amen? There's some people that work out their whole life. The body still looks good, but the transmission ain't what it used to be. Can you say amen? Engines, not even what it used to be. Amen. Listen to me carefully today. While we look not at the things which are seen, that means everything that can be shaken means everything in this material world, in the physical sense. But it also means there's a spiritual shaking taking place. I believe that everybody that is not truly committed to Christ with an intimate love relationship in this culture, in this last day spiritual atmosphere, I believe the love of many is going to wax cold. They're going to be shaken loose. So that which cannot be shaken might remain. Out of all this compromise, out of all this apostasy, something is emerging. You know what that something is? The true church. Can you say amen? Thank God, with all the negativity, I haven't got the Elijah complex. I do not believe I'm the only one jealous for God. I believe what God told Elijah is true to us. I've got 7,000 that have not and will not bow their knees to Baal. You can't see them, but I know they're there. Hallelujah. This is a little church. They stay away in droves. Can't handle it. And the it they can't handle is the Word of God. They pack a Bible. When you preach it, they don't want to hear it. It's the most amazing thing to me to pack a Bible around and not want to hear what it says. They claim a master, but they don't want to do what he teaches. They want to do their thing and have God's blessing. And there's churches telling you can have it both ways. It's a lie to the pit of hell. And shipwrecking lives. Ministers as well as people under their ministry. Quite a day to be living. Oh, I want to get on that. That is unshakable. How about you? Praise God. While we look not at the things which are seen, for they are temporal, subject to change. We look at the things which are unseen, for they are eternal. Psalm 46 can only be used in that context. Amen. God is our refuge, our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the mountains be removed. Come on and cast into the midst of the sea. Can you say amen? Why? Why? Because we're not looking at the tangible things that can be washed away. We even look death in the eye and say, listen to me. Death, where is your sting? And grave, where is your victory? We don't see a grim reaper. We see death as an agent of God for the Christian that looses us from this earthly realm and ushers us into the eternal. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! Woo! People are living their life as if everything's going to stay just like it is in their body, in their circumstance, in this nation. We're so dependent on the government taking care of us. The government can't do all these things. Only the blessing of God can sustain this nation. Amen. If gas goes to $6, the government can't pull out any. But they ain't got it. Can you say, man? Praise God. Silver and gold have I none. Is not just what the disciples said. Amen. At the gate, beautiful. It's the same thing from Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam holding his pockets out. Can you say, man? The states are holding their pockets out. Amen. Are you listening to me? Praise God. Listen. We're living in a day when we're promised the riches of the Gentiles. What we need is the riches of Jesus Christ. The blessing of the Lord is what we need back in America. The material things will take care of themselves if we get back under His blessing. Hallelujah. The blessing of the Lord. It, the blessing, the favor of God maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. Can't be shaken. This kingdom can't be shaken. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now look at Hebrews 12, 25 through 28. Once again, I want to read it. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice, see, when Jesus was here, number one, God spoke through prophets. Remember? He said, I rose up early and I sent my prophets unto you. Jesus stood and looked over Jerusalem. You know what he said? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that stone the prophets and kill them that are sent to you. How many, if they had listened, how many times? If you had listened, because God was speaking through them and you killed them, spurned them, but God was speaking through them. How many times would I have taken you under my wing like a mother hen does her chicks, but you would not? God said, I will not send any judgments that I don't first send warnings. Amen? Amen? I will not do that. I will do nothing unless I reveal it to my prophets. Yes. Believe in the Lord, so thou shalt be established. Believe his prophets, so shalt thou prosper. And we're not just talking about prospering with material things, because false prophets will give you that message and no other message. But we will prosper because we will be corrected when we're wrong. We will be right with God. We will be under his covering, under his blessing. There are things that money simply can't buy. Amen. 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 When I was dying of cancer, money couldn't buy deliverance for me. But the blood of Jesus had paid for one. Can you say, man? Listen to me. This is so important today. If you don't respect, when Jesus came, he said in times past, God spoke through the prophets. Now he's speaking to us directly, distinctly through his son. Through his son. Through his son. Through his son. And what did Jesus say? Did they listen to him? No. God spoke in the earth through the prophets and through his own son. And Jesus said, we piped to you. You haven't danced, mourned to you. You haven't cried. God is speaking to you, but you're not responding. And he said, in the day of judgment, it's going to be more tolerable for the men of Sodom than it is for you. Because the men of Sodom will stand, and they will be in judgment. They'll stand with you. Amen. See, they didn't have Jesus to speak to them. The men of Tyre and Sidon, which were judged by God, said they're going to stand in that day. The day of judgment. And they're going to condemn people of that heard Jesus talk. He said the men of Nineveh are going to be at the judgment. They're going to come from their graves and they're going to stand at the day of judgment. And condemn you, he said, because of the preaching of Jonah. They repented. And here's Jesus. And he said, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. That means the more pure and powerful the word of God is to anyone, the more accountability they have before God. Can you say amen? Jesus said, if I didn't come and speak to you, God would hold you accountable for that you didn't know because you were not told. But I came and I spake to you. Therefore, your sin remaineth. There won't be any excuses. Well, that preacher failed me. That church hurt me. Somebody over there hurt me. No. Jesus died for you on the cross. Can you say, man, you can't blame somebody else for not loving him, serving him, receiving salvation that he purchased. You can't blame the failures in the church. Jesus is faithful. He never failed you. Can you say, man, he will never fail you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't look at people. If I did, I would have given up and went with the crowd. I've seen the failure. I'm watching a heartbreaking thing. I'm watching Christians. Their love is waxing cold. They got money for everything but God and his work. They got time for everything but God and his work. They got energy for everything but God and his work. You can't sing, oh, how I love Jesus, when all of those things are out of order. Can you say, man, don't love in word or tongue, but in deed and in truth. God doesn't buy it, and we all know it's phony. Can you say, man, it's hypocritical? And there's one thing I don't want to be, and that's a hypocrite. If I'm wrong, I want to get in an altar and get right. I don't want to stay wrong and justify it. Can you say, man? I don't want to sing these songs, Michael, that we sang this morning about loving God and not walk any of it out in my life. My priorities need to change. My values need to change. Amen. I don't want to be part of the crowd that's falling away without conviction. I want to be part of those that's drawing closer to God. Yeah. Can you say, man? Amen. Especially as we see that day approaching. God spoke upon the earth through the prophets. Then he spoke upon the earth through his son. And he said they didn't listen. So he said, I'm going to speak from heaven. I believe earthquakes is part of God. He doesn't have to do it. All he has to do is let sin run its course. Just let sin run its course. But he can use sin running its course to try to speak to us. What's the message of the earthquake in Japan? Are we afraid something's going to take over Florida? Is there a tidal wave coming to Florida? Is it going to come over my house? I doubt that very seriously, but it could happen. But it's not about the tidal wave coming over your house. It's about your heart.
Yes, it is.
Because there's a shaking. And he said, when I speak from heaven, he said, everything that can be shaken, it's going to be shaken. That's the negative. But the positive is, so that which cannot be shaken might remain. Let me give you a corresponding scripture. Listen to this very carefully. Jesus said, you know what I'm here for? I didn't come at this time to bring this utopian peace all over the earth. I came to send a sword. I came to set at variance. Can you say, man, I came to start some trouble down here.
Yes,
how many know ever since he got here, he's still stirring up trouble.
Yes.
You can talk about Krishna, you can talk about Muhammad, you can talk about Buddha, you can sit a little fat-bellied Buddha in your garden because it's supposed to be cool. I don't want no fat-bellied Buddha in my garden. Amen. Praise God. I'll let my fat-bellied dog sit out there. Can you say amen? Amen. And no object of worship. Listen to me. But you know what tears people up? Jesus. It's when you talk about Jesus. Can you say amen? If the Christians were just eliminated. If the Christians would just leave. Well, I got news for all those folks. Can you say amen? One of these days, they're going to do without the Christians. The authentic Christians, the true church, the old ship of Zion. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Has weathered a lot of storms. But one of these days, you're going to look out over the horizon. That old ship ain't going to be sailing no more. Something's about to happen. When you see these things begin to come to pass, lift up your head. Your redemption is drawing nigh. People ought to be living differently in the light of the soon coming of Jesus Christ. Go ahead and give God a hand clap. That's for the Lord. Verse 27 says, yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made. Those things that those things which cannot be shaken might remain. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. And then it tells what that acceptably is, with reverence and godly fear. Can you say amen? With reverence and godly fear. Let me define the fear of the Lord. It's deep reverence. Say it with me. Deep reverence. Something missing from so many Christian gatherings today. We think it's cool to be casual in the presence of a whole. I'm not talking about our dress. I'm talking about our heart attitude. Can you say, man? Do you understand what I'm saying? We think it's cool to be casual now because it's no big deal. It is a big deal. Or two or more you gather in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Amen? God is still holy. He may be our Father, but He's not our old man. Can you say amen to that? Deep reverence, the fear of the Lord for the Christian is deep reverence. It's not dread of God. We love Him. We want to draw near Him. But we come with deep reverence, with awe. And affection. The Bible said, let the whole world stand in awe of Him. Why? Because He commanded and it was done. He spoke and it stood fast. Can you say amen? He said, let there be a firmament. And there was a firmament. I'm a firm believer in the Big Bang theory. I believe that God said, let there be a firmament. Bang! There was a firmament. Can you say amen? Somebody give Him a praise today. Hallelujah! A kingdom which cannot be shaken. I'm just going to read a paraphrase. See to it that you obey God, the one who is speaking to you. For if the people of Israel did not escape when they refused to listen to Moses, an earthly messenger, how terrible our danger if we reject the one who speaks to us from heaven. When God spoke from Mount Sinai, His voice shook the earth. But now He makes another promise. Once again will I shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. This means the things on the earth will be shaken, and only eternal things will be left. Did you see all those buildings and cars and lives? Like a matchbox taken away. Can be shaken, can it? The great power plants, nuclear power plants, can be shaken. They can have a meltdown. And if they do, in some other nation, we have another Chernobyl. It took years for Russia. It actually broke the back of their economics and caused them to have to get out of that Cold War attitude and begin to do business on a global level. because there were bread lines and about to have a revolution in Russia. And economics, not military might or Star Wars weapon systems, but plain and simple economics brought a nation into a global activity that had isolated themselves. Khrushchev wasn't beating with his shoe saying we're going to destroy you or whatever he said, you know. They're saying, let's see if we can't work something out here. We need this and we need that and we need the other and we need you. Even if you're normally our enemy, we're going under without you. Even the Berlin Wall came down. They said it'd never come down. It's still, but it came down. We watched them with sledgehammer. We watched that. Listen, there's a God in heaven, and when he shakes, everything is shaken. Hallelujah. And he's still on the throne. Everybody say he's still on the throne. Hallelujah. I got to hurry and finish. It's time to stop. But listen, which one of these clocks? Did anyone change that clock back there? Is it 12 or 1? It's 12? Oh, I got another hour. I got another hour. No, I'm just kidding. It says 12. Oh, I'm glad to be a Christian today. There's two parts of me. There's this serious, serious part. And then there's this happy, joyful. I'm so glad not to be part of the apostasy. I'm so glad my heart is still longing for Jesus. I'm so glad I still come to church because I want to. Can you say, man? I'm glad the love of Christ constrains me. My heart is broken over those even in this congregation that don't love him much anymore. I wish you did. I hope you don't treat your spouse the way God is being treated. Amen? Because I see marriages breaking up if that pattern continues. What if somebody don't love you very much anymore? You think they're going to put up with you if they don't love you? Oh, but I'm so wonderful. No one's putting up with me. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We put up with each other's faults. There's a love that covers a multitude. If you want to put somebody under a microscope, you're going to see things that bug you about them. But if you look through the eye of love, you'll look over those things. Like God looked at you through the eye of love and fulfilled a verse to a wonderful song. I will forever turn my eyes to Calvary, where Jesus died for me. He looked beyond my faults. He saw my need. Aren't you glad for a God that does that? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Got to hurry and close. But let me tell you something. The kingdom of God is unshakable. And listen to what happened when you got saved. Colossians 1 and verse 13. I'll hurry. It said, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Can you say amen? Therefore, we will not fear though what? Though the mountains be removed. Talk about an earthquake. There's nothing more permanent than the Great Rocky Mountains or the Appalachian Range. You folks know about mountains. Can you imagine what a shaking it would take to remove those mountains and cast them from their heights and their power to down into the sea, particularly in California, if those mountains were cast all the way down to the ocean? The Bible said, listen, God is offering you something so secure, so stable, even if everything that you thought couldn't be moved became moved, you're not afraid. Therefore, this is not just the little things. This is the cataclysmic stuff. This is when the things that we thought would never shake, shakes. Therefore, we will not fear, though the mountains be cast down, cast into the midst of the sea, because the God is our refuge. If God is your refuge, you don't have to fear. If God isn't your refuge, you're caught up with the same fears that is causing the world such consternation, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking at the things which are coming upon the earth. Amen. Oh, I'm so glad for Jesus. Let me just make some statements as we close. Death can't shake this kingdom. For Christ our King is the absolute ruler over death. Because He conquered death, we don't have to fear it. He's the first fruits. He's the first fruit of many brethren. Can you say, man? He conquered it so that we could be given that victory. Satan cannot shake this kingdom. For Christ is the absolute victor over the devil and his minions. He's subject to the name of Jesus because Jesus is Lord of things in heaven and earth, things beneath the earth. They don't like it, but they can't do anything about it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Everything outside the kingdom is material and can be shaken. But everything in the kingdom is spiritual. That's why we don't look at the things which are seen, for they are subject to change, temporal. We look past that to that that is unseen, for it is eternal. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're in this kingdom where Jesus is supreme and sovereign King. The Bible said the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. It's not a material thing. It's not for self-indulgence. It's not food and drink. It's not something you can buy with money and indulge yourself with. But it's righteousness. Yes. It's peace.
Yes.
And it's joy in the Holy Ghost. Yes. I wouldn't trade this peace for the biggest house in Hillsborough County. 6 bathrooms, 5 bedrooms, gold faucets. Can't use but one at a time. Can you say, man? I'll tell you what, I don't know. Listen to me. I'm telling you, this peace is precious peace. This is warrior peace. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is peace that passes understanding. This is joy. Listen, this is joy that satisfies the deepest longings of the human soul. You think you can get enough to satisfy that big old cavity inside of you, that big vacuum? Only God can do that. You know what He offers you? Living water. And He says, if you drink this, you're not going to thirst anymore. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You don't trade that spiritual stuff for stuff that can be shaken, stuff that can be taken, stuff that is right now passing away. And the world passes away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We've received a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Therefore we will not fear though the mountains be removed and cast into the midst of the sea. For God is our refuge, our strength, our satisfaction. Hallelujah. Our sustenance. Woo! God is our everything, church. Hallelujah. In light of these events, I'm going to sum it up with this statement. What now is to keep us calm and unmoved in such an hour when the whole social fabric seems shaking and trembling? Every other social prop and sanction may fail us, but there's one anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. The author of Hebrews knew well what it was. The world was tottering in his day. But he looked abroad and surveyed it with untroubled eyes. For he saw something else. We see Jesus standing. Hallelujah. But now we see not yet all things put under him. It is only as we see Jesus, the incarnation of the unconquerable moral life of God standing in the center of the life of humanity, that we can be true social optimists. Oh, there are people that have given up on revival. They've just given over to a pessimistic, fatalistic attitude. The world is going to hell, but I'm not so good on them. Amen. Let them go. That's your bad. Honey, this is not a time for the church to give up on revival. Is everybody going to be saved? Certainly not. Amen. Is somebody going to be saved? Absolutely. Is the somebody worth it? You better believe it, because if the somebody was you, amen, you'd be glad that somebody didn't give up on you. Can you say amen? That somebody stood in the gap. Somebody made up the hedge. Hallelujah. Somebody didn't discourage. Throw in the towel. So then, to use one great writer's noble phrase, we can have optimism without frivolity and seriousness without despair. Amen? It is our faith in an omnipotent Christ, destined ultimately to put all things under His feet, that enables us in the midst of a changing order of things to remain calm and confident. Therefore, we will not fear though the mountains be removed. And I'm not just talking about the physical stuff. I'm talking about things that strike your home, your family, things that you thought would never change. Suddenly you get up one morning and all is changed. We're not afraid. God is still on the throne. He's a sovereign king. We're His subjects. We're in His kingdom. Can you say amen? It is only as we share in the faith of the New Testament that these things we can share in its confident assurance. It's only as we understand that underneath this warring, trembling world, there's a spirit of Him unceasingly at work upon the life of the world, overturning the works of men, that the work of God may appear. Upsetting the things that must be removed, that the unmovable kingdom of righteousness shall be revealed. That we too can look abroad upon all this shaking, trembling world with an untroubled and confident heart. Wherefore, receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have thankfulness whereby we offer service well-pleasing to God. We know nothing of this world is going to stand, so we just get even closer to God, serving more fervently. Can you and appreciate Him? Aren't you glad you're in this kingdom which cannot be shaken? Glory to God. Hallelujah. If your world is shaken and you come to Christ and discover the kingdom of God, then something positive and powerful has resulted from the crumbling of all that we that had our confidence in. We've traded the temporal and the transient for the eternal and unchanging. And we need to come back to God. Can you say amen? And get on that that cannot be shaken. How many will agree to me today that we need to get deeper in to kingdom life? And quit looking so much at the things that are seen. Amen? Because every one of them can be shaken. But we look past them. If you've lost a child, you've got to look past that old grave out there in the ground. You've got to see something that death can't shake. And that is the immortal soul of that child that's with the Lord forever. Amen. And that you're going to be with that child if you serve Christ. Amen. Age without end. You're going to make up for this temporal loss with eternity. Have all eternity to make up for it. Can you say amen? I tell mothers who've had abortions and now repent of it. Amen. I want you to know that little embryo had life from the day of its inception. And I want you to know that life is safe with God. Amen. And I want you to know if you repent of your sin and come to Jesus Christ, you can be reunited and spend heaven loving that child. Praise God. Amen. This is an See, everything else can be shaken, but this kingdom cannot be shaken. Praise God. That's why the Bible said, put it first. Hallelujah. Seek it first. And all the tangible material things, God will take care of all of that. Get the kingdom in view. Hallelujah. Wow. Say it backwards. Wow. Glory to God. Amen. Will you stand to your feet? I want to close with a song that right now seems so appropriate. We need to hold to God's unchanging hand. To put our hope in things eternal. And I'm going to tell you, you need to hold tight. Because everything And when I say hold tight, I don't mean your strength. I mean your heart. Come on. You can't do it with your strength. But with your heart. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things above where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Listen to this. You've got the power to do it. Set your affections on things above and not the things beneath. Can you say, man? Because if you don't set your affection, there's one vying for it. And he used everything in this world. He showed Jesus the kingdoms of this world. And he said, it's in my power to give you all of this material world can offer. Can you say, man? He's going to come to you with the same deal. I said, he's going to come to you with the same deal. It's going to come to you with the same deal. There are people with the newest gadget. And they keep coming out with new gadgets, so your old one is obsolete. Best Buy is so concerned about people being disconcerted over spending a lot of money on a new gadget. They've come up with it, and they know technology's racing until the new gadget this year is obsolete next year. And so now they got a 50% buyback. If you get a new gadget and it's obsolete, they'll buy it back for 50% of what you paid for it. You spend $1,000 for it, they'll give you $500 for it, and then you can spend $1,500 on the new thing. Amen? And everybody's got to have the new thing. Whether they give to God or not, whether they serve God or not, whether they have to work two jobs or not. Come on, I'm telling you the truth. The kingdom simply isn't first. What good is that gadget if you get cancer? What good is that gadget if you have a massive heart attack? What good is that gadget when everything shakes and the only thing that's unshakable is the kingdom of God? Amen. I'm going to strongly challenge you to get your values rearranged, to start putting Jesus first in your heart and in your life so that he can keep you. Can you say, man, you got to get close to him for to take you under the covert of his wings. Can you say, man? I said, don't wait. Don't wait until you're in the middle of a tsunami personally to begin to cry out to God. There's a place of safety right now, place of security right now. So when the day comes, we can claim Psalm 46. When that day comes, when that shaking is so strong that mountains are being shaken to the ground and cast into the sea. God is our refuge. God is my strength. Therefore will not we fear though the mountains be removed. What happens if gas goes to $6? God is my refuge. God is my strength. Can you say, man? What happens if Uncle Sam goes broke and can't help me? God is still on the throne. I was young. Now I'm old. But I've never. Oh, when we use the word righteous there, it's the uncompromisingly righteous, because that's the only way to be righteous. Can you say amen? Let's get it right. Hallelujah. I was young and now I'm old, but I've never, say it with me, never seen the righteous, the uncompromisingly righteous forsaken. Nor his seed begging bread. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory. I believe in cruses of oil that don't run empty. I believe in filling my tank with a 5-gallon can of gas. You got a 5-gallon tank? No, I got a 1,000,000-gallon God. Somebody give him praise. Before we closed down, went to one of my meetings. Went to a meeting, preaching revival. Some nuns came to a revival up in Merritt Island. I don't get out much, nobody asked me. But anyway, I was preaching in Merritt Island, and some nuns came to the service. And they wanted to know about the Holy Ghost. And they wanted to know more about Jesus. And I was happy to see them in their habits. Is that what you call it? They came in. Anyway, one minister was there, and he said he'd been to a convention. And they'd really been preaching on faith in God. God's faithfulness producing faith in God. And about the Catholics had come to that out of hunger. And there were some Catholic nuns in a Volkswagen, four of them. And they ran out of gas. And they worked at a hospital, like St. Joseph's or something. They were Catholic nuns, and they worked at a hospital, but they were wearing their habits and their uniform from their faith. And they they'd been to this gospel meeting and ran out of gas. And they went to the service station. The service station said, if you don't have a metal container and we don't have anything to sell you, we had a container, we loaned it out, it didn't come back. So if you don't have a metal container, we can't put gas in it. So they went back to the Volkswagen, looked around for something, walked them half a mile back to the Volkswagen. They found a bedpan. Because one of them visited people in their homes that needed care, found a bedpan. And so they brought that bedpan, said, this is metal. Guy couldn't deny it's a metal container. Two of them held it. The other put gas in it. They walked back with a bedpan of gas to the Volkswagen like this, crabbing all the way. Can you say amen? Not crabby, but, walking like a crab. Amen. And they got back to the Volkswagen, and they made a funnel out of a piece of cardboard. And one of them held the funnel, and two of them were pouring out of the bedpan into the funnel. And a guy come back, was also coming back from the meeting. He come by and looked over and saw that. He looked over at his wife and said, now that's faith. We won't go into the details. You can figure that out yourself. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Now that's faith. We got a God who causes meal barrels not to go empty. Hallelujah. We got a God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We have a God in heaven. This is a kingdom worth seeking. It's unshakable because it cannot be shaken. And we've been translated into this unshakable kingdom of God. Therefore, we don't fear though the mountains be removed, cast into the midst of the sea. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God is going to use the church that is authentic. That is not the church that's following the values of the world is going to, when the world shakes, they're going to shake with it. But the church that's following the kingdom of God is unshakable because the kingdom is unshakable. Can you say amen? Again, are you glad to be part of this kingdom today? Amen. At the end of this song, we're going to have one more prayer before we leave. But would you sing the chorus of this song?